As a company that makes over $2.1 million,
we didn't get here by the force of magic.
You're a wizard, Harry.
We built a reliable team
that has been a crucial part
of keeping the business afloat.
Stay tuned as we discuss the importance of building a reliable team
in a deep dive into different roles that are in our rental company. We have five key roles that we're going to talk about today. The first one is going to be your warehouse team. What would be the first person we would hire? And I think from Eddie's perspective and my perspective, this was the first person completely. So, Eddie, why did you get this warehouse person?
Well, she did a lot of the things that I didn't like doing, which was cleaning equipment, keeping things nice and organized. So that's the main reason why I got her.
Who?
It was my daughter.
I mean, maybe I might be like I've never seen you clean the table.
I have.
I'm not saying you haven't done this. I haven't seen it. Because I know my experience, too. I have my friend's sister. Her name is Alex. She used to come over probably 2 to 3 times a week, clean the items, restack them back up, and put them up there. That's like the one thing that I did not want to do. And like literally, as soon as we started, that was like the first thing that I got somebody to do. I mean, they started separately and then ended up joining forces probably like 5 months after we started working on this right here. But like from where it's been, so like, hey, what are some of the main responsibilities of the warehouse people?
Their responsibility was the clean the equipment, report any damage. Then after that, just basically to organize everything, put it in its place, and keep everything nice and neat. Yeah. So I know I'd come back, and sometimes, you know, when I come back, I'm tired, so I just like, whatever. And she'll go and grab them and then get everything where it needs to go. That way it doesn't get lost or misplaced.
When we first started, it's like you come home, you're delivering. Because most likely, if you're starting this out in the very beginning, you're probably going to be the one to deliver. And we actually recommend that because you can talk to the customers, work stuff out. And most of your issues will come from the actual delivery process. Because if you're starting out, your equipment's going to be pretty much brand new. So you shouldn't have no equipment issues. Hopefully, you don't have no equipment issues. You shouldn't have no equipment issues. And your biggest concern is just getting there on time. And you'll be kind of graded upon just getting there on time and helping people out. And you'll be able to learn kind of what the customers understand. Because that was kind of what we started too. It's just getting out there and seeing. And about most people that I know who started kind of started in that similar role. Now, if you're starting in this role and it's like you and your spouse, then that's something different because one might be doing sales and maybe at the warehouse cleaning, and then you might be doing drop-off, or who knows, maybe you both might go do delivery stuff. I see some other people do that. I know my aunt, she does basically all of it for herself when she kind of started, and then I think my uncle helped out a little bit on some things. This position is, like, really valuable because this right here frees you up. So, like, if most people who start this are having some type of job, you were working somewhere, I was working somewhere, Tina wasn't here. Tina was in high school when we started. But everybody's kind of like working smart. And so if you have someone to come clean during the week, you can still do your regular job. And I mean on that Friday night to Saturday night, and then when you pick up Sunday and stuff like that and Saturday nights, you can spend all your time kind of that, and then that Monday evening. And then the rest of your time can be just focused on your other jobs. And that's why I think it's really good to get this right here, because you can kind of take that away. We don't recommend you start this and then the next day you jump out here and then tell that boss, I quit.
You see this? I open my own hotel.
Maybe we stopped working on our other stuff a little too early. I might even say that. But it was like literally a month before the pandemic.
If the pandemic happened, I probably would have held on to my job for security. But since I just jumped out there and I had a little pride, I wasn't going to go back. I was going to make what I had work.
And one thing I know that Eddie did, which kind of even brought me into thinking about this right here, is doing the customer pickups and the will call and everything like that. Because then you have somebody kind of that would be there. And if you can schedule it around similar times where they can clean, then maybe they can clean a little bit and do that. Mm-hmm. It works out a lot. And also, too, that person is a good helper person. If you have to do a big job, they can come help out. Let's say that you hire this person. They hire this person. Like, how do they even go about even determining if this person is worth it? Or are they doing well? What's the process? What process do we use right now?
I mean, right now, we basically see the value that they bring to us as far as inventory, cleaning tasks that we want to get done. So we weigh that against their actual hourly cost that they get per day. Well, right now we do percentage based. So if a specific item is valued, we'll just say a dollar. We'll take 20% of that and say, hey, that 20% of that dollar, we expect to pay somebody to clean that item. We'll adjust it. It's not a flat percentage across every single item, but every item per se was more or less is about 20%. Say they cleaned 10 chairs, and then they took them an hour to clean 10 chairs. We will basically equivalate the value of the items that they cleaned to what we paid them. And if one outweighs the other, which if we pay them more than the value they bring to us, then we say, hey, it's not a good candidate. We want to look for somebody else. We're looking for like the 2 to 3 times the value that we pay that individual.
Since we only want people to be 2 times at least ahead of them, mm-hmm. we might as well just like cut the percentage of what they pay for the what we kind of calculated. Instead of 20%, do it as 10%, and just run it straight off of there. Bigger numbers make people more happy too.
Yeah, exactly, and do a psychological thing too as well. These numbers that we collect, we put them on a board as well, and the board is like when you go clock in, you have to pass that board. And then we have a camera there, and I watch to see who's looking at that board. It just basically tells me what type of individual that I'm dealing with.
So for this first hire, we're going to break this down really quick. We're going to build this profile of them. Preferably, you want to be in that 10, 12 range or a little less, if possible. This can be somebody who technically is in high school, somebody's in college. So that's kind of like that first group. And this is when you don't really have linens or anything special, when you might just have chairs, tables, and maybe you have a couple tents and stuff that needs to be cleaned.
Or like bounce houses.
Yeah, bounce houses too. So you want to have the person do these things. What's the first thing they need to clean? The tents, bounce houses, or the tables, chairs?
We see what items are going out that week. We'll put a priority on what needs to be cleaned first. And then the rest is just like filler items. Like, you know, if we got like 1,000 chairs in stock and, you know, we have 1,000 to clean, and we only have 200 that are going out, we're not going to put the priority on the chairs. We're going to see what specialty items. Sometimes we'll just have like, we'll just pretend we had a bounce house that's specifically going out that week. We need to put the emphasis on getting that thing done. Or something that's really popular that you don't have a high quantity of, you want to get that thing done first, just in case it does sell. Because emergency orders come in all the time.
So when you're small, you probably just will clean everything just because it'll be nothing. But if you're like decent size or get into decent size, you're not going to be, like Eddie said right there, you're going to have to do that. Because you're not going to be sitting there cleaning stuff that only be clean when you got a, you know, you got 50 tents going out and you're worrying about cleaning 500 chairs or something like that when you need to be focused on these tents that go out on Wednesday. Tina, do you got something for me?
Yes, I do. So I'm going to be comparing how much we pay versus the average on how much this position is usually paid.
Oh, damn.
So
interesting. Let's see how off we are.
I think you'll be surprised. We pay an average of $200 per week during the slow season and $500 per week during normal operations for our warehouse staff. Now, compared to the numbers that ZipRecruiter gave me, the average warehouse worker in Texas makes an annual salary of $31,185 or $15 hourly, which adds up to $599 weekly. We are actually below the average on ZipRecruiter.
Nice.
Almost by $100.
Okay, yeah, $100 going back in my pocket. But you don't really need somebody. That's the beautiful part about this position. If you get anything out of it right here, this person does not have to be full-time. What is it, like 10, 20 hours a week when you're trying to start off?
Yeah.
It might even be less. It might be 2 days, like 2 5-hour days. Who knows?
Yeah, and the good thing about that, like you said, when I was in my garage originally, I mean, we're at the house, so part of the chore is get in that garage and clean the tables and chairs.
And it's free.
If you start off with that setup, or if you have like a, like we'll just say a storage unit or like a small warehouse close by, you know, it's something that you can get done pretty quickly.
If you haven't already, you need to go ahead and get the ultimate checklist. This is the number one source for rental information. So make sure you go ahead and get this right here. This is filled with so much information. We just recently updated it. A lot more graphics in it. Good way to help you get started and get around a lot of the pitfalls that me and Eddie went through when we first got started. Currently right now, I think already almost over 1,000 people have requested it. So going to get it before all the information gets used up. We have more stuff coming to it. We update this on a regular basis. And also, too, is how you stay in touch with us so you can learn more about all the stuff that we're doing and how we plan to help you. So get the ultimate checklist. Hurry up. Get it now. When, Eddie?
Now.
Now. And then the best part about the ultimate checklist is free. The ultimate checklist coming to a competitor near you. So now that you got your warehouse person, got your stuff clean, stuff looking sharp, looking crispy, everything like that. Now you're probably thinking like, I'm so tired. I don't want to do any deliveries no more. Hold on. We got you. We got you. You're still going to do deliveries. You're just not going to do as much. Remember that first person we hired?
Oh, yeah, my good old friend, Jesse.
So, like, what was our whole mindset when we were hiring Jesse?
Take the load off of us because we were getting too many deliveries.
Yeah, I think we were at, like, 25 to 30 a month at that point in time.
Yeah, we thought that was a lot.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it was a lie, especially with free delivery. The 25,000 with low, the amount of deliveries you went with a lot longer.
And we had the bounce houses too at that time and the water slide. We're like, oh man, you need some help.
So if you're a one man band, you might have to do some of this stuff a little earlier. You got to decide on if the work that you can pay someone is you can make more money from doing the cleaning versus your job, or doing the deliveries versus your job you do. For some of you guys out there, it might just be, you might be able to make more money by just doing your job and then working on the specific things on the other side and not doing deliveries. I think for us, we were already in it at this point, because we kind of like jump in the deep end, see how deep it is. And I don't recommend that for nobody else, because you still have things you have to answer. You have to get the stuff clean. You have a person for that. You still have to answer phones, answer customer support, do dispatching, all that stuff. You have to hire people and do payroll and run all that stuff for everybody, including yourself. And then when you do this delivery job, that should take off stuff during the week. So, like, you can literally go through. And if you do want to go somewhere with your family, because I know when we first started off, we had a pretty big issue where we couldn't get a couple people that we needed. And I think Eddie was trying to, he was trying to throw a party, but he never actually was really at the party. He set up stuff in the party, and then he was in between. He was setting up a tent the whole time at the party while the party was going on. And then it was actually a beautiful day, so I guess it worked out.
But no, I don't think anybody knew the whole backstory on why I wasn't there on time.
They was like, he's a bad father.
No. And like, I set up a generator and everything like on the spot. It was brand new in the box. I didn't know anything about this.
That wasn't no generator.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's an inverter. Mm. I had an inverter. Nah, I'd hear about that. The tent, actually, there was a piece that was missing, and I tried to... I didn't know anything about tents back then, so I was trying to get... I sub-rented it a piece from... I think it was, like, Marquee. They rented it to me, like, the whole price if I bought it. They sensed desperation in my voice, so they charged me. Corner piece didn't work out with the tent that I just got, so I had to give it back to them. And I didn't put the tent up, but I had the bounce house and everything. They had a pavilion there that I didn't know was available that we used, so it all worked out.
I forgot about the pavilion thing.
Yeah.
If we would have had a driver at the time when that happened, mm-hmm. we would have been able to, or at least we would have had enough drivers, I guess, at the time, we would have been able to take off from the stuff. I think I was invited too, but like...
You got stuck out there doing the delivery. You think your wife was all dressed up and pissed. Yeah. They're like, why are you working? He's over there.
Yeah. I was like, he's better than us. Like, if you actually want to ever take a break or like be ever not work when you're sick, you have to bring in drivers. Now, they might take over 50% of the work. Eventually, they'll learn how to do tents because there's different levels to this. You have level one drivers, as we kind of call them, which are just chairs, tables, and kind of like the simple things where you just drop off, no really setup involved in that. Then you have like your tents, your bounce houses, and kind of like your pipe and drapes, people that can do all these extra things. You can be able to basically drop them off and they can handle the stuff for themselves, or the set of people if you have two people running, depending on what your average order size is. If your average order size is under $500, you might be under one person. If your average order size is over $500, you might be looking at two people on there. Now, obviously, you want to at least be able to get 6, 7 to 8 routes on each one of these people at least, minimum. But if you're doing weddings and stuff, you might have a whole crew of 3 or 4, because we'll even like the, I think we put a video out today. I think we have probably like 3 or 4 people at that event. So let me ask Tina this right here. Tina, who is your favorite driver on our team?
I don't know if you guys will agree with my answer, but my favorite driver, because I like them as a person, is Akira.
Okay. That's a joke. No, Akira is... Like, because, like, I'm not going to lie. Don't kill us on the cross for this right here and all this right here and drag us down that part. Generally, in our experience, women who are shorter, smaller, can't perform the duties to do a lot of stuff. It just is a lot of wear and tear on this part. We usually look for people who are, we look for gorillas, 200 plus guys. You know what I'm talking about? Those 2 P's right there. But Akira has came here and changed the whole mindset.
One of my favorite moments was... when I was able to deliver a double throne chair by myself.
She's gained a lot of muscle. She's worked the stuff out. She's been able to find ways to do things a little better. Like, you have some guys who won't even bring a dollar sometimes. I don't know what's wrong with them, but on that point, or they have the dollar and don't use it. And for them, she'll make sure you have all her dollars and stuff together, her four wheels, so she can move everything around properly. And it really worked out for her, and it really changed the whole perspective. It's really just a want. Based on when she started, like, I remember she had troubles lifting like 3 chairs, and now, you know, she'll hit a 10 stack real quick. But the one thing I think the best about Akira is, like, she gets tips on levels that, like I haven't seen since, like, my cousin Junior was here when he was, like, wooing the customers or something. Like, her specifically comeback, $200 tip. I'm like, dang, like, what is she, what are you doing? And it wasn't even that many items. So Eddie, who would you say is your favorite driver?
Fluffy.
All time?
I would just say all time. And he works with us now too.
Even over Kobe?
I don't consider him.
I'm talking all time.
All time, all time.
Okay. You hear that, Kobe? He coming for your job.
No. So I excluded him because, like, obviously he's a manager for a reason. He would trump over everybody else. But if we're just everybody, then I would say Fluffy.
Especially his new Fluffy. I'll 100% give you that one. I think he has a vision. He can see on there. My favorite, most favorite driver was his name was Brandon. 18-wheeler Brandon.
I know that's a joke. It was like no 18-wheeler Brandon.
When you start getting these drivers, putting positions up there, there's going to be a lot of people who come in with CDLs, and they be like, oh, I can drive anything, do anything. It's from our experience. Take this how you want to take it on this right here. Generally, they're not going to be that hardy people. So they come in, need everything a certain way, can't do it this way. Oh, we got to unload the trucks. Like, what did you think when you said offload? It's like, I thought we just let them offload. Like, you just bring the stuff and the customer take it off your stuff. Like, they didn't, some people don't understand that even when you explain it to them.
Okay, so I actually have something to add in there. I think the reason why is if you go on Craigslist and you look at the gigs, you'll get a ton of like offloading gigs, and it's from 18-wheeler drivers wanting people to offload items for them because they don't want to do it themselves.
What are you doing on Craigslist?
I love Craigslist. I don't know.
You're getting your side. You're getting your side work.
No.
Are you a CDL driver, Tina?
No.
I see it. Yeah. So you can see it's kind of like just be aware of that stuff. Now depends what they were doing because Kobe also had a CDL. So you want to make sure you get people who could drive anything, but also too who are kind of used to doing their hands. Like one job that I think is really kind of would translate pretty well is like, you know, the soda machine shops when they have to bring all the sodas off, unload the truck, offload the truck.
Yeah.
I think that's good. Movers.
Yeah, they're good.
Because you can't go like, you can't just get super, it's not just all about strength. Because, you know, some people just don't care and be destroying your stuff.
I think the movers is the best because they have to protect a lot of the items that are actually, you know, customers' items. They're not just like, because I would say furniture salespeople, but sometimes they don't really care about it because, you know, it's brand new in the box. And then they just blame the company like, oh, it's broken. We're going to bring it back. But like actual movers, like furniture movers from like, homeowners from location to location, those are generally really good guys because they take care of the loads. And we've seen that in like Louise and stuff like that. He really watches out and makes sure that everything's secured and not just all over the place.
You just got to get people who care about their work. Because we had a guy, his name was Jerry on that part. No, I'm not saying Jerry was perfect. He showed us that like if you care enough, you can move to a certain point. And I remember when Jerry used to take a bus from Mesquite. And if you don't know Mesquite, I'm going to show you on the map. And then walk, was it 3 miles? Or what is it?
Yeah, something like that.
3 or something miles to the warehouse and then work. And then work 7-8 hours and then do this, and then go back home and then do the same thing the next day. Also, when you're looking at drivers, you want to look at people who are nice. But also, two people don't get too flustered because his problem was he got too flustered when things didn't go the way that he wanted to.
Yeah.
Because things not going to go the way you wanted to. Like, someone's going to pull out in front of you. Someone might hit you. Someone's going to flick you off or something like that. You're going to get to customer house. They're going to say, don't park in her driveway, which you shouldn't really be in their driveway if you're close to the house anyway. They're going to tell you, you know, like, hey, you know, we want you to put everything in the back. You can't get mad. When they ask you to cut their grass, you just got to say no. You can't just freak out. The main responsibilities of your drivers, like we said, we got level one. So what's level one responsibilities?
For the most part, they're going to be responsible for getting the items from A to B, then from B to A. A little low item stuff. It doesn't require a lot of difficulty to set up or anything like that.
Okay. Now, we run out off a commission structure, but generally we will have these people around because this is kind of how what Kane and Walter were kind of in, I think, when they came in there. And they'll be around that 12 to, I think like $12, right?
12, yeah.
12, 14, somewhere in there. They'll probably get paid more of that per hour, but you'll get more work out of them. So that's kind of how that will work. Mm-hmm. So that's your 12 or something hours. So now we have our level two. These are my favorites.
Yeah, so these are the guys that are going out there that they can do the level one stuff. And then on top of that, they're doing like setups of like tables, chairs. They're doing pipe and drapes, bounce houses. They basically have knowledge of what they're doing. They'll do some tents, but they won't really do like the big ones yet. But they can handle the 20x20s, 10x10s, 15x15s, like the small stuff.
As we kind of say, our level twos can do basically what two level ones can do. Basically, these guys will be able to do a lot of stuff with a dolly and a stool. They'll be able to basically do a lot of things that anybody else do, and they can do it in a really good time that other people do just because they're they're hustling. They know the ins and outs. They know how to do it. They've done this stuff hundreds of times. And then you get to your level three, and these are the Kobe's. Put the Kobe's face up here on that part. These are the people that you can send into any scenario.
Yeah.
As long as they have the bare necessities.
As long as they have a candle.
They have a candle by candlelight. That's what you say. So as long as they have the bare necessities, they can get the job done. We did a gutter. So this is not how you're supposed to do the gutter. This is the only reason why Eddie made this video is just because if you ever in the bind, you're too far away from the warehouse and the customer told you he didn't want no gutter, it's not going to rain, all stuff right here, and then you happen to have something with you for another project, you can throw something together to make a rain gutter. And it's basically using duct tape and 220 by 21s on a 40 by 41.
It works.
It works, but like it's not technically what you're supposed to do. And he made it to where the customer can't see. They can't really see from the only time you can see the duct tape is on the inside. You can't really see it on the outside.
Yeah.
So we made it about that. So like you need a person who can know these little tricks to still get the job done. Because if you're 2-3 hours out or their event is about to start in a couple hours, you can't afford to go back and mess their event up. And sometimes you need to be able to make these things and get these things right and be able to do it. And level three guys are what we call like our black op level people who you can send out there and you don't have to worry about, you know, if they're going to not be able to do it or not. As long as they got the bare necessity of what you need. Like, obviously, now I can't even say that because we've had times where we've sent stuff. I remember you went out there at times, like, I don't have the poles. And you next thing you know, you're at Home Depot and you got a fence pole. like you'd be surprised what you can do. And these level three people are people that make work, and these people that will be pushing your company forward.
Basically problem solvers.
Yeah, just problem solvers, exactly. But basically the whole thing we're getting around to is you have to have some type of way to be able to identify if these people are doing well. So you have two different ways. We have from a budget perspective, how much are they doing based on, like Eddie said, the amount of money they make. This is our driver efficiency scores. This is how you can set your commissions. And then you have your incidents per stop. And these are the two things that you kind of do. Not each incident isn't the same. So like if someone forgets a chair, if someone forgets to say hello, you know, something like that, these are not the same thing. Or if someone goes in there and hits the customer with the forgotten chair and say, it's right here. It's not the same thing. But this will show you how many incidences they're having as a total. Now, it won't show you the severity of those issues. Now, you can drive that back into the driver efficiency score by taking the money lost and putting it into there based off the money that they have earned the company to come up with a kind of score to kind of show that. But it's a good way to judge kind of what's going on from a perspective to be able to compare drivers against each other. You can obviously do a scoring on incidences. So like if someone punched someone, that might be a 10 incidences. If someone forgets a chair, that might be one. If someone forgets to tell to send a picture, that might be something versus someone forgetting the whole order. This is very subjective. So it's kind of hard to be able to determine that. We haven't figured out exactly from an incident standpoint, what stuff is valued because it's based on the person. But what might be more important to you might be less important to us or vice versa. But we plan to make something in the future to kind of be able to, you can adjust those things. How are hourlies compared to other stuff?
Okay, so I will say we pay our drivers commission. I will give us how much of an average we pay our drivers per week. So on average, during the slow season, we pay $300 per week for drivers. And that's in total. Oh, actually, no, sorry. That's not in total. That's about per person. And during normal operations, we pay $1,000 per week. Numbers came from Elaine, so I know this is accurate. The average driver in Texas makes an annual salary of $33,434, or $16 hourly, which adds up to $642 weekly.
So I'm pretty sure Eddie thinks the same thing. So that $1,000 might be, I don't know how many hours that could be. That could be a lot of hours working. Yeah.
The one thing that we do is we pay based on performance. So like our guys, I think, can easily outdo any other kind of company's kind of guys because they know that the faster they do and the better they do it, the better they're going to get paid. So sometimes we'll have some guys that will make like $1,000, $1,500 even like during the busy time. But they'll be working from 6 a.m., so like 9 p.m. that day, and they'll be putting so many orders out.
Because, 7 days a week.
Because one thing is, if you're a fisherman, then you'll know, like, there's a certain season when the fish go to spawn, and you just throw your hook out there, and you're going to be catching a fish. Well, they're the same thing here in the rental industry. They know that there's a season that the work is very plentiful, and they know the more that they do, the more likelihood that they're going to get even more work, and then they can get those numbers that they want to get throughout the whole year. You know what I'm saying?
We're going to do something maybe 2024. We're going to do the driver championship. So everybody bring their drivers here. We're going to do the Olympics of drivers and see who's the baddest driver of them all.
We should have a poll, like, see like who votes on what for driver. Yeah.
We should do something like that. That'd be fun. Everybody brings somebody from their thing. We have a collective amount of events that people got to do. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. If you're interested in that, let us know in the comments. And then put the person's name to that you think needs to be out here. Maybe we'll throw a prize on there, I mean, like $10,000 or something. So this next person is not, I wouldn't say the third person to get, but and then on our list we're going to put as a third, it's going to be dispatch. This is basically a position that we both have done at one point in time. Once you get out of those driving and all stuff, you can do dispatch yourself. But this is kind of when you want to separate yourself to the next level where you don't have to be tied down to day-to-day operations.
Dispatch responsibility is basically make sure that everything's going nice and smooth. They're kind of the information highway from, you know, sales or the customer to drivers to management. They relay the information where it needs to go. They also, for us, they touch base on the customers. All the information the customer tells them, they relay it to the drivers, and then the drivers, you know, to them, to management or whoever needs to hear the message.
So I usually always ask dispatch about certain orders or just certain setups and stuff that we have. They take care of all our photos. So anytime when I need a photo, they send it over to me. And yeah, just anything relating to orders, that's usually how I speak with them or how I get information out of them. But other than that, I think they do a lot more.
Yeah. She don't like dispatch. She says they're slow. She asked for stuff. She said, you didn't give it back to me in 30 seconds.
No, but, you know, I also know that dispatch is literally on the phone with Kobe like 24/7. Like, they're never off the phone. I've never seen them off the phone.
What's up with dispatch?
How do you evaluate if they're doing well?
What's up with dispatch?
What do you mean, what's up?
How do you feel about dispatch currently right now?
I think dispatch is good. I think we still have room for improvement. There's a lot of things that we're trying to get down. For instance, like fuel cost authorization. That's a big thing that we're really working towards that kind of puts a halt, or like you would say, like a traffic jam on the operation. So basically, we pre-calculate what the fuel cost is going to be for the day prior. And then what we do is we do a authorization request, which is for the fuel cards, which we have on all the keys. The fuel cards are disabled, so in order to get them enabled, they have to let the dispatcher know, hey, I'm at the gas pump, I'm here to put gas. But they don't have a blank check where they can pump as much as they want. They have a certain amount that they have to pump per their route that they're doing, so that we pre-calculate how much gas is going to be. And that's why we're able to manage it. And then sometimes our dispatch team forgets to send that request a day prior. So the drivers are at the pump and saying, hey, we need gas money for enable the card to pump gas. And we didn't put money in the card because they never sent in that authorization request.
Yeah, this is just checks and balances. And as you start handling more and more money that you're not the main person handling, you'll see this, because this is be an easier area where you can have people, like we have in the past, we'll go fill up their tank, fill up somebody else's tank, sell the gas at the thing, and then tell someone, I quit. And then like...
That's like $600-$700. And then the crazy thing is like, we got all that money back, but they're probably looking for them for theft.
But say if you were using a debit card, just you gave somebody your debit card or some other, then you know, you'll be basically SOL on that one. What are three things that a dispatch would instantly improve in someone's business?
One point would be the organization of basically how things are ran.
Organization, information.
Yeah, so information basically. And then secondly would be like forecasting, like I said, the fuel charges.
Being proactive.
Proactive, yeah. Employees coming in on time, like what's their ETA on the customer's location and all that good stuff.
Communicating better across the team so everyone knows what's going on. And so when you tell dispatch, they distribute to the right people.
Yeah, and they make sure everything just goes smooth. Like if somebody's sick, they're already being proactive and looking for a replacement. Or if not, we always have a plan B and have drivers on standby ready to go.
Okay. Now, this is probably the hardest thing, I think, is evaluating if the person on dispatch is doing well or not. This is the tricky one because, like, we had a person that worked with four. His name was Mark. I think he just came back and maybe left again. I don't know. But you have different types of dispatch. You have some people who solve problems. You have some people who control the information and get the information passed and do updates and keep stuff updated.
And write reports.
Yeah, write reports and stuff like that. Yeah, exactly.
Data collection.
So you're going to have two different people on that part. So the person who is on, who's on solving problems will literally just be on the phone all day. Just literally the whole thing. On the phone, this problem happened, call this person. This phone thing happened. Sometimes they might be on the phone so much, they might be on the phone with like Kobe all day. And then when an issue happened, they're already ready. I remember when me and you first started, like, how long were me and you on the phone?
Forever.
People always be, but you remember people say, our wives would say crazy stuff, like, hey, chill out. It ain't like that.
Until we go to sleep, then we'll sleep with the phone too.
Like, hey, you see what just happened?
Oh, he made a noise. What happened?
Now we don't have to be on the phone all the time, and we can jump back on and talk to each other.
Yeah.
But maybe, I don't know. I was thinking about that. I was like, maybe that's something. Yep. Who knows on that? So Tina, so how much are we overpaying dispatch?
Okay, so during our slow season, the average pay for a single dispatcher for the week is $150.
Yeah, you heard that.
Yeah.
During normal operations, it's $250 per week. The average in Texas is $45,823 or $22 hourly, which is $881 weekly. So we're way below, maybe even like lower than double.
That's right.
And if you want help finding a dispatcher like we do, we find people, great people. You need help with that, reach out to us. We'll get you taken care of. Help you on that part. Yeah. You know, we're always trying to make some extra money. No, but yeah. So that's the way we do that. And this keeps costs down across the board. And these are still 40-hour weeks too. So remember that. Some of these are more than 40-hour weeks. I don't know. We had one person, Huns, worked 70 hours one time.
Thank you.
He couldn't go to sleep because he had to get back up an hour. And then he worked the next day. And he had a baby screaming the whole time. And he's doing all this at midnight too. Number four on our list, when you unveil the mystery, everything like that, number four, it's going to be a CSR member. So this is somebody to do customer service and also do inbound sales. If you don't know what inbound sales, it's just sales that are coming in. This would be some order taking that they'll do and also do some reach outs on past orders and follow-ups. This right here, this has been like the journey that I would say, this has been a wild journey because we started out with, who was our first, you remember the first person?
Or was it, I know who it was. It was the one that did the cleaning for us. But I don't think she wanted to do that.
No, I don't think, did Alex do that first?
She we made her do it, but she didn't want to do it. Because remember, that she was saying, customers like, yeah, they're going to do this. And then they're like, hey, you said the customer we're going to do that? It's like, she was angry.
Yeah. Okay, so it was Alex. So Alex, and that was just basically one day we was like, hey, I need you to answer his phone. We got to go out on the road. And then she just answered the phones, and then it kind of worked out a little bit. And then we actually got systems in place. But we spent so much money, I felt like, on finding people and then, like, finding the right person. It's because it's very expensive, especially during, after the post-COVID, when the average cost of, I would say, someone's good on the phone is about $17 to $25 an hour in the United States. So this is kind of what pushed us over to being in the Philippines and pushing over from there. So we technically didn't have a full team in the Philippines. It's just that we had a couple people just, I guess maybe they seen the future or something like that, and they jumped off ship. But I think this has been like one of our strongest departments since we kind of jumped in here. Because also too, it's been like most people with the most degrees, most training across the board because of the process, they have to go through it. Mm-hmm. And we put a lot of effort and time into this department. We started off with just one person. Now I think our department has basically, if you count everybody in it, about eight people. Just in the sales CSR department. CSR and dispatch are like the things that like kind of like your level two things. Cause these are gonna decide on, cause even though you can do these jobs from anywhere technically. The first two being at the warehouse and delivering, you have to be there. Once you get out of that, you get into these two, and especially this one, where you'll be able to kind of do it literally almost anywhere. But you still have to do the work. And if you're looking to kind of build something that can work past you, like these are like very viable places that you have to start. So Eddie, what do you like about the sales team?
I mean, that's what makes all our money right there. That's what I like the most of.
Show me the money.
Yeah, so they're the ones that are outreaching. And what I like about our team, they're just so fast. Like, what we preach a lot is, like, when you get a lead or you get a phone call, like, yeah, if you don't answer that phone call, you need to be calling it, like, within 5 minutes or less. Because they're most definitely, they're not going to say, well, I'm just going to wait for this customer, this company to call me back. They're looking at other places. So the faster you can basically dial them in and get them sold, and the better the chance that we're going to get their business. So, and when the leads come in, they're like on it like white on rice or whatever. Yeah.
And then basically Google is like Tinder for services.
Yeah.
They're constantly swiping back and forth trying to find the right one. Mm-hmm. And if you don't swipe on them too, they might push you out. Now let me give you an example right here. And this is, I think this is funny. Eddie's so far on this, on the like right now thing. Eddie be messaging at 10 o'clock at night on Sundays. And then if like, maybe I always wondered this too. It's like, I was like, you know, nobody's in the office, but like, they still respond though.
I know there's a couple of people that are looking there, and I'm pretty sure they have like a notification on or something like that. Even like Danica, I called her. I was like, Danica, I was like, hey, we need to charge this card right now on file. It's like, okay, give me a minute. I was like, okay. Like insufficient funds. It's like, oh, okay, I got it. Let me take care of this stuff for right now. Go ahead and muscle this $500 real quick.
Hey, not again, Eddie. Using it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
No, but like if you see right there, and there's a reason I like about it, you can build people who actually care about and really care about your company. That's the thing that you want. And I'm not saying that you're doing this to get more out of people, but people will willing to do more for a cause that they care about and the company and the people they care about. And we have a lot of people who might come out for hours just to close a deal and something like that and get some stuff in just because they want to see us do better. Or like when Eddie messaged you at 11 o'clock at night and says that the party that's at the venue is basically getting too crazy. And he's like, Eddie, why are you there celebrating? So that's how I know.
It's a party. It's a party.
This is too crazy. And then we need to shut it down or something like that. Yeah. You have somebody to respond to it. But the sales team basically works with dispatch, gets the stuff sold, do the follow-up. If you don't know, most of your money would be put into follow-up. If you want to make more, you need to follow up more. And the more you follow up, the more likely to make money. So, Tina, so are we overpaying or underpaying?
I think we're way underpaying.
Thank you.
Okay, so I just got the numbers from Elaine. On our slow season, we pay $150 per week. That's an average for one person. And for our normal operations, it's $250 per week. According to ZipRecruiter, the average CSR worker in Texas makes an annual salary of $66,423 or $32 hourly or $1,277 weekly. So way, way under.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh, my. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm about to be switching careers. Hello, this is Xavier. How may I help you? Want fries with that? Hey, not that one.
But I will say it's usually because salespeople here are based off commissions, just car dealership people, just really any salesperson. So.
We just can't never win with you, Tina.
Yeah. I mean, we don't do commission-based services.
We do commission.
Oh, we do?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We do.
Yeah. Misinformation.
Okay. Because I thought that's why we gave incentives, because we paid them hourly and not.
Yeah. You get paid hourly, which is your base, and then you have incentives and you have commissions.
Oh.
Depending on what you're selling. Like if someone sells the venue and it comes to a lead, that's not someone else who already sold the person, but there's a commission that you get from there. And there's bonuses too, depending on if you win certain competitions we have. You know who else gives commissions and bonuses? Novo Banking. If you sign up for Novo Banking using our link, you will get $50 in your first, I think, 90 days. It's not actually that close, but dang. But it's still $50, though. Get signed up with an online banking account. You can separate your finances. Because I know you guys out there, I'm talking to one person specific, Jason, out there, combining all your finances together. Don't do that. Also, it helps us out, too, and it's pretty free. Pretty much free to get started. This is what's going to separate you so you can go out and be free and have freedom. This position right here is the HR. This is going to be somebody that handles a lot of the day-to-day things that only you would kind of do. Like if you did payroll, hiring, firing, you did like anything for budgeting-wise, and kind of make sure everybody on the team is kind of doing what they're supposed to do. This is the role kind of when you can start stepping back and you can get all the day-to-day operations. I know Elaine, which I know Tina keeps saying over and over, she runs out of payroll. She's doing the budgeting stuff this week. We're doing taxes this week as well. And so all this stuff is getting done by her and her team so we get a lot of things done. Then at the end, I'll look over it and we'll go over it with a professional and everything. On payroll, you should be watching the numbers, know, understanding the stuff. You should be paying the stuff to see when the thing's going out so you can get the way the business works from a money standpoint. This shouldn't be the first thing you give up. If this is the first thing you give up, then you're doing it wrong. There's other stuff you should give up that are less valuable things. And you'll be able to see, too, when Tina gives you the numbers of how much other HR people get paid. And that's why. Because this is probably the most the highest value task that you can, most times you can do, is getting the right people in there, paying the people, and then also getting the right people out too. And if you do that, you know, Eddie's like, you know, that's the biggest part. It's getting them, because sometimes you get compound people are right and people go wrong. Eddie, what would you say the main responsibilities for the HR is?
I think right now the main thing that really helps us out the most is this bringing a good line of employment to the front door. So, you know, when we have certain positions, we need to either, you know, ramp up, get new employees. She does a lot of our ZipRecruiter, Indeed, and all sorts of other places that, you know, look for candidates to get us, you know, the position filled up. So that's the thing I think is the most valuable that she does, just because we know that at any minute someone decides, you know, they don't want to work anymore and they quit. We need to immediately get that position filled up. And we have like a big whole backlog of potential employees that are interested that we always keep on standby, keeping people flowing through that door. That way we can, the operations of the whole thing doesn't really get messed up.
Tina, what's your favorite part about her?
My favorite about HR is that, honestly, I would say HR is the person that I talk to most. So whenever we had another HR manager, she would always help me with posting these job listings and stuff like that. And then she would first do an initial interview, and then she would send them to me for a second interview. And then that would decide whether or not I get them or not. Right now, Elaine, what she usually gets me is just information on our employees, job titles, specific numbers, and just things like that. I haven't need to hire anyone into my team for a long while now. So right now, she mostly just gets me numbers.
Yeah. You know, the crazy part, the person that was doing it still was Elaine. She was just underneath somebody.
Oh, really? Yes, it was still Elaine? Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, Elaine's been with me for a long ride because I ask a lot.
Yeah. And also, Tina gets a lot of violations because she gets into the HR department a lot. She gets written up a lot. So that's why she speaks to him a lot. So, Eddie, what do you think the three things that if they get an HR person would improve their business?
Well, for sure, I think the quality of candidates. Because generally, the person that is in that position has some sort of experience with vetting people that you want and what you don't want. So I think the quality of candidates that come through the door is going to immediately go up. And after that, I think also like legal perspective of business, it'll go up as well. Because not saying that you fire people the wrong way, but you can easily do it, you know, the wrong way if you're handling these kind of situations. Kind of like we talked about that in the past as well, you know, where somebody sliced up the chairs and stuff like that because the wording was wrong or whatever. Generally, human resources, they're really good at handling letting individuals go and doing it legally and, you know, have documentations and everything like that to back it. HR, what is an immediate kind of thing that they help on the whole operations of the business?
I think the biggest thing when you hire someone from HR, the thing that you're actually paying for is trust.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's the thing. You pay for someone to trust to be able to handle stuff and deal with money, deal with people, deal with valuable stuff, resources in your company. And also, too, what it really does, specifically for me, is frees me up. Because those things, if she didn't do them, I would have to do it. If I didn't do them, then Eddie would have to do it. Like, we have to go do our franchise tax in Texas. I know y'all probably thinking, let's go live in Texas, low taxes and stuff like that. Low income taxes, but your business still getting taxed. So, like, doing that, changing the name of one of our entities, changing ownership to reflect the new entity that we created, all that stuff. A lot of miscellaneous things that will allow you to basically free up your time. So that's one thing I would say, like, for the most part is, obviously, you get someone you can trust. You get someone who's going to handle most of the things in the business. Like I said, too, we do a lot of hiring overseas. So we're about to crush this number, I'm pretty sure. So, Tina, hit me with the numbers and give me the percentages.
Yeah. Okay. So HR is actually the highest costing team member out of all of our positions, according to ZipRecruiter. So how much we're currently paying is $150 per person per week. And this is during the slow season. During normal operations, we pay $250 per week. The average HR worker in Texas makes an annual salary of $93,027 or $45 hourly. So this adds up to about $1,788 weekly.
Dang, for firing people? But thank you guys so much. Now you know we're about to go to the rental rundown. We're about to run it up.
All right, so the first question that I have is, when should I start to consider hiring a manager for each of these positions?
So me personally, I generally do it if the team exceeds, like, you know, four or five members, then it becomes a little bit, you know, unmanageable, because everybody kind of does their own thing. So you need somebody to kind of set the pace, set the tone, and generally that's what we do. We get about four or five people over that amount, then we go ahead and grab a manager to handle that department.
Now, another question should be, when do you remove a manager?
When they stop providing value.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
All right.
Maybe so when they hate on you.
The second question that I have is, what's the biggest challenge of getting overseas employees?
Tina's biggest challenge.
I'm domestic. I'm right here.
Yeah, Tina be always telling people all crazy stuff. No. The biggest challenge is really just finding good people over there, because there's a lot of ways to get scammed. And being able to find a network of people who you can validate their background and be able to make sure they can do the work. And because a lot of times most people who are getting this are doing this at nighttime. So you got to make sure they're not going to fall asleep. They might be the best worker ever, but it's midnight. Like, are you going to be up or not? And so, yeah, like, you guys will be able to understand and see that. It's hard, though, too. And then you have to get the pricing down right, because you want to make sure people have consistent Wi-Fi and internet and stuff like that, and power. Some places don't have that. Some people's places do have that, but then people are scamming, trying to get into your business and steal stuff. So you have a little stuff to work on through. That's one thing that I think over the last 4 or 5 years that we kind of worked on and mastered a lot, got a lot more down, because you have quite a few people on your team who are remote. Thank you guys so much for watching The Rental Boys. And this is our podcast. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salcedo.
And we are The Rental Boys. And thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure you get the ultimate checklist. Check out our links down in the description. We're also helping people out with the ad services. We already have a couple people already signed up. If you want to be part of this, let us know. But other than that, right to Tina.
If you like this video and would like to see more informational videos like this, please click this playlist right here. And please like, comment, share, and subscribe.